May the 23rd, 1978, Clay Dyer was born in Amory, Mississippi, Gilmore Hospital to Clarence and Beverly Dyer. And when I was born, of course, I obviously was too young to know what was going on at the time. But my mother tells a story a lot of times that when the doctors brought me in to her to give me to her after she had me, after she completed labor and delivery, that it wasn't like the doctor handed me to her with an instruction manual and says, "Here's how you raise a child that was born with no legs past the hips and a half a right arm." Because you see, that if the truth be known, in this world, a lot of times, people want to place labels upon people when they see them, whether it's in a wheelchair, a brace, whatever their condition might be. People want to place not only labels, but limitations on what they think people are able to accomplish or what they can accomplish. Those two labels are called disabled and handicapped. And if there is two words that I absolutely despise in the English language, it's those two words. Because to me, you are only as disabled or only as handicapped as you allow yourself to be. For 16 years of my life, 17 years of my life to be as a matter of fact, I went through my life, thank God, living in a family who not only believed and was a God-fearing family, but a family who believed in taking me to church, believed in teaching me the Bible, believed in showing me what it was like when you put your heart and faith and soul in Jesus Christ. They taught me all those wonderful principles. The only thing was you had a stubborn, cold-hearted, strong-willed individual in Clay Dyer that had a lot of pride in his life and thinking that, you know what, I don't need God. I can do this on my own. And I've tried to do that for 17 years, and I will tell you what that got me. A lot of heartache, a lot of discontent, a lot of unhappiness, a lot of hurt. Why? Because that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. That's exactly how the devil wants you to live, is ticked off, mad at the world, frustrated, and wanting to stay in that kind of frame of mind all the time. My friends, we're here because there was a man named Jesus that not only died the ultimate sacrifice, the most awful, gruesome death that a man could ever die. We are here because of everything that he did for us, the ultimate sacrifice that he paid for us, and they couldn't keep him down. They put him in a tomb for 3 days, rolled the stone back from that tomb, and my friends, because he is risen, we can live, we can have joy, we can have peace, and it's about time we as Christians and others, in fact, walk around with a smile on our face because we can do so because Jesus has already won the war. He's already won the battle. All we got to do is proclaim victory. Me and Kim were just this last weekend, we had the honor and the privilege of going over to Windshape Retreat, which is owned by the people, the Cathy family who started Chick-fil-A restaurants. What a wonderful place. We had never been there. We went over there. We were very blessed. I know a lot of you have heard of some of the faith-based movies, Courageous, Fireproof, Facing the Giants, all those movies. Well, just let me tell you, they're coming out with a movie that we've been able to see two kind of behind-the-scenes previews of it, and it's called I Can Only Imagine. If you've ever heard of Bart Miller, the lead singer from Mercy Me, I'll make sure I was correct on that one. The movie is an incredible movie that's coming out in March. But I said all that to say, God put some incredible people in our path while we were there. But there was one phrase that stuck out to me and my wife, of all the people we heard get up and minister, there was one phrase that stuck out to me and my wife, probably more than anything else, and it simply says this: pride divides, humility unites. When I got to thinking about those four words, I thought, my gracious, what volumes those four words can speak. You say, Clay, where are you going with this? You see, you're looking at a young man who for 17 years of my life, I tried to live with pride. And pride, when utilized the wrong way, can be very destructive. And that was my problem, because I utilized it the wrong way. I let it carry me away from the cross. I let it carry me away from Jesus Christ. The age of 18 years old, about a month after I graduated high school, Clay Dyer had the most incredible thing outside of my beautiful wife that's ever happened to me. And it was on one Friday night, I went to a youth revival in a church in Red Bay, Alabama, that was about the size of Grants Creek Baptist Church. And my friends, let me tell you, long story short, that morning, for the first time ever in my life, when I was in the best health of my life, that morning I woke up with the symptoms of a heart attack victim normally has. The man inside of me, the flesh inside of me, was saying, "Suck it up, you'll be all right." But the still quiet voice, which was the Holy Spirit speaking to me that I did not realize at the time, was saying, "Come to me and I'll heal you." I went all day long that day, tried to put it off, got to church that night when I should have went to the emergency room that day. I went, got up there that night to that youth revival. The whole time I was sitting there, God was working on me. God was working on me, telling me, "Son, come to me, and I'll bless you like you never knew imaginable." And my friends, I want you to know that I honestly don't even remember most of what happened that night. I know they had a lot of dramas and a lot of different things. But sometimes when God is convicting you and trying to mold you to get you where He wants you to be, so He can bless you like you never knew imagined, sometimes it's hard to remember certain moments. And just like that night, all I remember was the most important part. What I remember that night was when the pastor got up, with about 20 minutes before they closed, and gave the closing devotional. And he opened up a time of invitation. I can tell you this. I can tell you I was sitting in the very back, like a lot of people want to do. I was sitting there in that pew, and I didn't have a wheelchair, didn't need one, didn't want one, didn't care. I was sitting there in that pew, and the moment when that invitation time came, there was nobody going to stop me. There was nobody going to hold me back. I didn't care what anybody saw. I didn't care what anybody thought. I didn't care what somebody tried to judge me. I didn't care. All I knew is I was going to the front of that church, and I was going to get Jesus, whatever it took. When I come out of that pew and I walked on these two stumps called hips, I walked to the front of that church. My friends, I laid flat on my face on that floor. I squalled like a baby. I cried out to God, and I said, "God, I know and I believe that You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me." I said, "Jesus, would You please come into my heart, cleanse me of my sins, so that I can have that relationship with You and that home in heaven." And my friends, faster than you can snap your fingers, I went from having the symptoms of what was a heart attack, what I thought was going to be a heart attack, to having indescribable peace, love, and joy. Amen. And when I look back, the one question I've asked to myself many years, why did I wait 17 years? Why did I wait that long for the most incredible gift that I could have ever been given? And my friends, I want you to understand something. God has called each and every one of you to be extraordinary. God doesn't call us to be ordinary. God calls us to be extraordinary. When God called me to be a fisher of men almost 20 years ago, I remember sitting there thinking to God, "Okay, God, I would love to do that. But God, you know, I understand, what is a fisher of men?" That's how green I was. And see, what I've come to understand is that purpose that God has called you to be, to go out there, if anybody ain't ever noticed, God is spelled with three letters, G-O-D. What's the first two letters? G-O. What's that mean? That means get off your rear end and get after it. That means get off your backside and quit making excuses of why you can't do something for God, why you can't be a vessel for God, and go do it. But one of the most important things is, before we can go do what the will of God is for our life, before we can be a goer, we got to have it in our being. And what I've become to realize in all my years of doing this is when you allow God to consume you in every part of your life, when you turn loose of the control that you want to have and you allow God to be in complete control of your life, when you allow Him to consume you, you will go and you will do what His will is, because that's what brings you the most incredible joy, peace, love, and happiness. But you know what I found out and what I figured out over the years, and this is sad but true, so many people, even Christians, that go to the house of God weekly, before they want to go do what God's called them to do, They want to know what's in it for them. They want to know how much they've got to invest. They don't want to say, okay, God, if I give you this, what you going to give me? Well, I'm here to tell you, if that's the attitude you live with, it's the wrong attitude, my friend. Because Jesus Christ gave His all for us. He gave His all. And when I think about going to being a servant, it's not about recognition. It's not about getting that pat on the back. It's not about somebody look at me and pat me on the back for what I did for the church or what I did for God. If that's the way that we feel about it, we need to have a heart check. Why? Because when you're a true servant of Christ, you're not worried about people patting you on the back. You're not worried about the recognition you receive. All you're worried about is pleasing God. Because when you please God, He will bless you more than you ever realized He ever could. A lot of people want to put God in a box, my friend. He doesn't belong in a box. My friends, they put Jesus in a tomb. They rolled back that stone, and my friends, He had done came out. He came out so we could live. He came out so we could have that joy unspeakable. He came out so we could have peace that's beyond all understanding. Now, I want you to think about something just for a moment. Oh, are we willing to put Scripture up on the screen back there? Can you put Scripture up? Thank you. If you would, turn in your Bibles, or if you can turn on the screen back there, brother. Turn to 1 Chronicles, chapter 13. Again, that's 1 Chronicles, chapter 13. And we're going to start reading in verse 12. 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 13. How can I ever bring the ark of God to me? He did not take the ark to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he had. My friends, when I was studying about Obed-Edom amazes me at how it's like he did not want to be the type to be that front runner to get all the attention, all the accolades. What was Obed-Edom's heart? His heart was to serve Jesus in what every aspect he could. We as people, sometimes we know there's a need. And I'm just going to be frank with you this morning because I love you enough to tell you the truth. Sometimes we as people think we're a little too good to do certain things for God. We think we're a little too good to scrub a toilet in the church. We think we're a little too good to go take out the garbage. Or we think we're a little too good to stoop down and go see somebody that's homeless. Or whatever the case may be. We think we're too good to go out there and do those things. But my friend, I want you to know something. If you're faithful over the little things, God will make you ruler over much. If you're faithful enough to do whatever it is that God's called you to do, maybe you know that the church doesn't have a janitor. And you say, you know what, I ain't got time for that. Jesus could not have had time for us. But you know what? Jesus never said, I can't. Jesus gave us His all. And He did so very humbly. You want to be blessed in your life? You want the blessings that only God can give? Be open and willing to do whatever God has called you to do. Obed-Edom's heart was to serve Jesus. Obed-Edom did everything that he could do to help Jesus, to serve Jesus. And that's what his heart, that's what his passion was. Who was Obed-Edom? He was the father of Jesse, the grandfather of David. I thought, man, how ironic. David, one of the most awesome warriors in all the Bible, was victorious in one of the biggest battles in all the Bible. He is named as one of Jesus' ancestors, and the genealogy is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. What did Obed-Edom do as a servant of Christ? Well, number one, he guarded the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord in his house that we just read about. What is the Ark of the Covenant, also known as the Ark of Testimony? A gold-covered wooden chest with a lid cover described in the book of Exodus, Exodus 25 and 10. As I flip over to Exodus 25 and 10, If you have your Bibles, turn with me there as well. Exodus 25 and 10. The ark. Have them take a chest of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold, both inside and out, and make a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it and fasten them to its 4 feet, with 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other. Then make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Insert the poles into the rings on the side of the chest to carry it. The poles are to remain in the rings of this ark. They are not to be removed. Then put in the ark of testimony, then put in it the ark of the testimony, which I will give you. Verse 17, make an atonement cover of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. And make 2 cherubim out of hammered gold at the ends of the cover. Make 1 cherub on one end and 2 cherub on the other. Make the cherubim of 1 piece with the cover at the 2 ends. The cherubim are to have their own wings spread upward, overshadowing the cover with them. The cherubim are to face each other, looking forward the cover. Place the cover on top of the ark, and put in the ark of the testimony, which I will give you. There above the cover, between the 2 cherubim that are over the ark of the testimony, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. What does that scripture say to me? Yes, it gets detailed in talking about the ark of the covenant, what carried the ark of the covenant. What is the ark of the covenant? What God wrote with His own very hand, the Ten Commandments. What do I respect so much about Obed-Edom? Of how his passion was to do whatever Jesus needed him to do. Whatever Jesus wanted him to do. He did it with humility. He did it with honor. And he did it with love. And God blessed him more than he could ever imagine possible. And when I think about how sacred, how holy that the Ark of the Covenant was, and what its contents were in the Ten Commandments, and I think about how sacred and holy those were to God, and I think about, God, what you have called me to do, what my purpose for you is, God, I only pray and hope that I can be half the servant and half the man and answer to your call like Obed-Edom did to you. I would hope that God would trust me to do such a thing as to protect and hold on to the Ark of the Covenant. That would be my prayer in serving Him, that God would trust me to do whatever in His mind He knew He needed done. Because He knew when He gave me that commandment that I would do it with love, that I would do it with passion. My friends, this day and time in life, I feel like so many times when God calls us to that thing that we're not comfortable with, when God calls us to that thing that maybe ain't at the top of our list, of our bucket list of what we want to do, and we try to question, God, why did you call me to do this? God, no, I ain't too sure about that. I don't know how to do that. My friends, let me tell you something. God will never call you where He won't equip you. God will never send you where He won't go before you and take care of every obstacle and every adversity that tries to knock you down. Of everything that Obed-Edom did, of his servanthood, whether he was guarding the Ark of the Covenant that held the most sacred thing in the Ten Commandments, or whether it was being a gatekeeper, I admire everything he did, and I found it an honor when I read and studied about Obed-Edom. Because this day and time, too many people in this world are about, God, I'll do this, but what's in it for me? Too many churches this day and time, and I'm not saying Grants Creek Baptist Church. I'm speaking as a church body in the United States of America as a whole. Too many people are getting too involved in going and trying to do all these different things, which are good things, but they go to them before they're equipped and before they're ready. I think people think in their minds, in their hearts, okay, if I go and I go do this good deed, then you know what? Maybe I'll be paid for it. My friends, we ought to have a heart to serve Christ so deeply and so passionately that what we're going to get for doing that never crosses our mind. Because I'll promise you this, when we get to that point in our life, in our heart, in our mind, that God, whatever it is you call me to do, I want to do it for you, God, because what your Son Jesus did for me. When we can get to that point in this world and in the United States of America, you may say, Clay, you are crazy, you have fell off your rocker, that will never happen. Well, my friends, I can tell you this. God has placed a call on each and every one of us. Number one, you've got to have Him as your Lord and Savior before you can sense what that calling is. Number two, whatever God has called you to be, if you want to sense the most incredible blessings in life, guess what? It doesn't come from what we can take care of on our own. It comes from the humility, the obedience, and the passion that we put in to serving Jesus Christ. My friends, if we serve Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, and we quit questioning God, what's in it for us, my friends, you better get ready. Because I promise you this, you're going to look back and say, wow, God, that had to be you. Because that couldn't be anything else. My friends, let me tell you something. God took me to that level. But you know how He got me there? I had to say, you know what? God, I'm throwing away all this earthly junk. God, I'm not worried how much time I spend on Facebook at night. I'm not worried how much time I want to piddle on social media. I see people looking around. It's all good. You know what? Those tools can be good things when used for the right reasons. But so many times, they're not. So many times, people want to go out there, gossip, talk about somebody, something like that. And then they wonder why in the world they're in a place they're at in life. They wonder why in the world they feel so far away from God. They wonder why in the world they can't feel His presence. They feel like they're on one side of the country and God's on the other. You say, Clay, I've been guilty of that. My friends, you're not in the boat alone. We all have been. We're all sinners. Saved by the grace of God. But what I can tell you, whatever sin you committed in the past, whether you meant to or whether you didn't, there's a place called the cross. And there's a place called an altar. And when you want to get back to where you can sense God's presence in such a way that you know you are right where God wants you to be, the only place, the only way to get there is through prayer, through forgiveness, through studying God's Word and praying to Him every day. If you want to get to see the realm of blessings that God has for you, number one, it takes a relationship with Jesus. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so that you shall not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. What's that take? It takes believing by faith, of which you cannot see with your naked eye. It takes believing and trusting that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He died just like He died for me. It takes stepping out on that comfort zone of not being in control. But my friends, let me tell you, when you take that step, that's when God is going to pour into your heart, pour into your soul, pour into your life in ways that you never knew were imaginable. If we could, whoever's going to come up and sing this morning for the time of invitation, if you would, come on up. Thank you, brother. Pastor, come on up with him, Pastor Mike. My wife, if there's any women in here that want someone to pray with them, my wife will be more than honored to pray with you this morning as well. We're all going to be up front. My challenge to you this morning is this. I told you at the start of the service that when God called me, I didn't let not having two legs, stop me from going to Jesus. When that invitation started, I didn't care what anybody thought. I didn't care what anybody saw. I didn't care what they thought. I wasn't going to let anybody, thoughts or visuals or whatever, keep me from getting Jesus Christ. My challenge to you this morning, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I can promise you this. There is no one in this room, including myself or Pastor Mike, that's going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out, but we want to celebrate with you. Everybody in Grass Creek Baptist Church wants to celebrate with you. We're going to throw down and have a praise God party with you. You want to know what that's like? Come forward, my brother. You'll find out, my sister. Where are you at in your walk this morning? Has God called you to a higher level? Has God called you to a level and you said, you know what, I'm wrestling with this. I don't know if I can do this. My friends, be like Obed-Edom. Do whatever God has called you to do with passion and with love. And God can bless you more than you ever thought imaginable. As we stand, go ahead, Brother Jerry.